So welcome back to another episode of We're Disappointed, the podcast where we talk about things that disappoint us, about life in general. And this week we're doing something a little different. We have a guest. All right, we have Beards from the Shoot the Shit podcast over on Twitch.
Hiya, hiya.
And we're going to be talking about comics, I think. It's a broad topic. That's the general basis of it. Comics.
You mean we're not covering whether or not zombies poop? That's like a life-changing question right there. I thought that's what we were going over.
I mean, that is a question that deserves consideration. Like, if they're dead, like their biological systems, like, would, well, I mean, I feel that is more of a like affliction. Rather than like any like, I mean, I don't think that they're eating people and like digesting them is what I'm trying to say.
So where does it go?
I don't know. It just sits inside them.
Does it seem like they would fill up at some point?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they have like holes all in them, so it probably just like falls out too.
But not all of them have like the same injury.
So would the
So do you think that they digest it and therefore they poop?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you asking Beards?
Well, I mean, whoever wants to field the question at this point.
So far I've never seen anybody cover whether or not zombie feces are found around in any of these like series. I assume that it just sits there in their gut, and maybe after the gases and everything goes, it just bloats and destroys their gut after a while. And I guess the eating part isn't really the digestion really isn't important. I guess like whatever in the in the virus just caused them to want to eat human flesh. I don't know, zombies are weird.
Well, like I feel like it's more like it's like a way for the virus to pass itself on and replicate. Like that's where the desire to eat living human flesh comes from.
That makes sense.
Because it's like, I mean, you could make the argument that somehow their craving comes from like if they had the ability to digest the human flesh and keep themselves like fresher like for longer, but I just don't really think that's the case, because like a lot of them are like prolific human eaters and they still look like garbage. So like I think that it is just a way for the virus to like replicate itself. That's that drive.
All right, you heard it here, folks. We solved it.
I like your take about them like just eating and the food just sitting there and then they explode, but I feel like if that was the case, then every zombie apocalypse could be solved by people just doing what we're not doing during quarantine, coronavirus, and just staying inside until they all just fucking explode.
But you know, people have to go out and get their hair done and they have to have their social parties.
yeah, I mean, like, we've proven that there's nothing that can make us save our own selves. Like we're gonna go out there and be fucking stupid.
Like, no zombie's gonna stop me from living my life. This is America.
But then also, but to address the part about just being the way the virus, they infect other people, the virus replicates, it's like, the way that they eat is not conducive exactly to passing it along all the time. It seems like passing it along is just a happy accident when the prey happens to get away. Because a lot of the time they get somebody and then they just gorge for no fucking reason. It's like it feels like the amount of people they attack to the amount of people who get infected is not, what's the word? Like it's not efficient.
I get that. I think that we, like, there are, like, different, like, species, for lack of a better word, of zombie. And so, like, I think that our conception that we have right now is better served with the slow-moving zombies, because then it's like, if you actually get caught by a slow moving zombie, you kind of deserved it. Like, you could have gotten away. Like, like, if it's just like shambling towards you and you let it happen to yourself, like, then you just, you had it coming. So it's like, in that case, like, I feel that the design is that at the most, like, someone would get like a little like nip, and then they would go off and they would turn into a zombie, and then, you know, the cycle would continue. The fast moving ones, like, I feel like that's a modern conception anyway, so I feel that it just like disrupts the whole idea. But I do think that the fast moving ones is a hole in the theory.
When you say modern, like, how, like, I mean, zombies as a whole are not that old.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know, like the first like zombie movies are like, and they're like slow moving, right? And then like, what was it with like, was 28 Days Later? Was that the first one where they were super fast?
I hate zombies.
Did that come before Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess we can go with 28 Days.
That'd I don't even want to count that one because they were fueled by hate. It wasn't even like a real virus. It got, oh, yeah, had monkeys so sit hate, in a room a rage and virus. Get angry and upset.
So they weren't like real zombies then? You no. wouldn't say that they're real zombies?
Okay.
Well, then there you go. So it's like we're going with the shambling zombie. And so I think that fits with, like, the point is to just, like, have the zombie at the most get a little nibble. And then the prey would be able to get away.
I feel like we're giving more thought to this than anyone who's ever created zombies.
Sounds about right.
I feel like no one who's made it has thought this deeply about it. They're just like, oh, would this be scary? Yeah, let's do that. Like, like especially like
problem
the,
solved.
The, what you call it, zombie? The rabies zombie, which is the original. They're just like, I hate rabies. How can I make it scarier? And that's what we got.
Build a better mousetrap.
So this had nothing to do with comics, but I enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, it's roundabout. Isn't The Walking Dead a comic?
True.
Yes.
There you go. I made the connection.
Hmm.
I've not read that comic or seen the show, though, so I have no comments.
The comic was better than the show.
Very.
I mean, that's probably usually the case, I would imagine.
I used to really say like it was because it focused more on the action of what was happening and not so much the human relationships, but it did focus a lot on human relationships. It didn't feel as much like a soap opera as the show did.
Yeah, good lord. Oh, I was gonna say the comic handled relationships a whole lot better with people's descent into darkness with everything that was going around as well. Like, you really I don't know, the show just felt too soapboxious and hammy to me. Like, if you read the book, you could literally go back, like, 20 or 30 issues, and you could see, like, the slow progression from somebody being normal to going to absolute batshit crazy, and it actually made sense. Yeah, he did a good job in the comic as, until he got towards the end, I think he was just juggling way too many things at one time, but it's definitely a whole lot better paced and believable than the TV show.
Except for that beginning part with the first person to descend into darkness. I forgot his name. It was Rick's friend.
Oh, Shane?
Yeah, that was stupid. So Shane was Rick's friend. Was he his partner?
Yeah, he was on the force as well.
Right, they were both cops. Best friend. And Rick got shot, right? Like, prior to the zombie apocalypse, and he was in the hospital. He was in a coma when all this popped off, and he wakes up in the hospital alone. He has no idea what the fuck is happening, so he ends up finding his family, and Rick has like taken his place. It's like his wife and he has a kid, and Shane rather is playing dad. He's playing house. So when Rick gets there, he's like, his actual family is like, oh, let's get back together and be how we were and all this other shit. And I forget how long it was. I want to say a couple of, like, 3 months maybe. But, like, Rick's wife, I forget her name. She was crazy. And Shane had already been banging. And then Shane's talking about he was in love with her or something. And so he's like, he wants things to stay how they were. And she's like, are you stupid? They can't stay how they were. My husband's back. So he goes crazy and he tries to kill Rick. And then Rick has to kill him. And this is like in the first couple of issues of the show. And it felt like a lot, like right from the jump. But then it slowed down to a pace that was more like what Beards was describing.
Yeah. Mm. Carl's the son Carl actually kills him in the comic way different than they do it in the TV show. Cause it was all like, I think one of the ways he was trying to show right off the bat was like, how children process these things differently. I feel I'm going to mangle it if I try to explain it. And I feel that you would have no, you don't want to read it at all. So I'm not even going to go forward with it, but like, it was, but yeah, like, they both, Rick and Shane go on a run together, and like, in this, basically Carl who ends up killing, Shane, cause he catches, Shane about to actually shoot and kill his father. And that basically, starts off, Carl's, little run to becoming I don't know if sociopath or psychopath is the correct term. Like, he basically becomes, immune to, his empathy and compassion starts becoming super low from that point until, like, he actually gets it back, much older when certain things happen to actually, bring more, a bit of humanity back into him. But yes.
He's a sociopath, I think. I think sociopaths are made. Psychopaths are born.
Okay, so, yes, a sociopath would definitely be it. But yeah, the completely different from the Carl on the TV show. But, so, what is it about comics that we're talking about?
Well, you're between the three of us, you're the comic aficionado. Like, you're more heavy into it. You grew up on them, and you also now create them to an extent, right?
That is correct.
Do you want to talk about what you make? Like, the main thing that people may not know you for?
Working on right now for a client who is basically giving me a lot of creative control on is a comic series called The Brother about an African king who basically sold his people. He was tricked into selling him. He was tricked by his high council into selling his people into bondage to a misery demon. And on his the way and while he escaped his own curse, he's still cursed. He has a spear that allows him to travel through time. And basically, he's been on this whole path of retribution of trying to actually like atone for the sins that he did. So that's something that's written by Jay Kelly that I get to draw and I actually get the character design and put my own spin on it. There's a bunch of other stuff that I've drawn comics for, and sadly, I don't even remember half of it. but that the brother's the main one I'm working on, and I'm also working on one of my clients who has this character called Myth World, where it's basically like if you just take a sort of a Indiana Jones type character, but like he actually uses the relics, the mystical relics that he finds. He has a side story that I'm actually working on that as we're going along. And I also have a ton of other projects that I probably will never get to work on, but the goal is to make enough money so I can hire other artists to draw out my projects. So there you have it.
Nice.
Right. Thank you.
So as said comic aficionado, what's something that you like about comics? Like, is there something about comics that they do better than other forms of media like books and movies and games?
No, I don't feel that they do anything better than any other sort of entertainment or storytelling medium. I feel like the reason why I'm so attached to them is like plain and simple, not only because I grew up reading them, but I just like the whole visual. I just like the whole sequential art narrative, like being able, if you're a good enough artist, to convey a story to the reader without even having to use word bubbles. So like if you were Jen picked up something that I drew and you could follow it through and you could follow the pages and you exactly knew what was going on without even reading something, to me, that like warms my heart. It's such a big achievement that I could tell the story to you without you even knowing what's going on. So like that sort of thing is always a big thing to me. And the oddest thing is the way I got into comics was Jim Davis, Garfield. So like me and my cousin, who was a huge avid comic reader, I used to go to the local library with him, and while he was reading like the floppies, which is our name for the little 22-page thin comics, I was reading like Garfield and Heathcliff, and then from there I graduated to reading like Spider-Man and X-Men. And then I started like trying to imitate and draw them myself, and then it was like over from there. Like I was completely hooked on the medium.
That's interesting.
Nice. I like that you started with Garfield.
You gotta start with the masters, you know?
So, what are your feelings then on Calvin and Hobbes? Because I feel that's another master.
I completely agree. Like the whole him setting up the deaths of the snowmen in his front yard for his father to come home and see. Amazing. Chef's kiss.
So, you got hooked on comics. You started reading from an early age, but like what kept you reading it?
During that time and period, since me being an artist myself, there was this Wizard magazine and Hero magazine. They did this huge service to comics by they would actually do things like they would have the top 10 artists and the top 10 writers, and like not only did that propel artists up into rock stardom, that's why even now, like I don't know how many of you are familiar with people like Jim Lee, but that's why if you go onto Twitter or Instagram, you still see people like fawning over and acting crazy every time Jim Lee draws a sketch, because that sort of thing was propelled by Wizard back in the day. So beside them starting and throwing geek culture into the forefront, here's a name a lot of you probably already knew just from memes alone: Rob Liefeld. Now, one of the reasons why Rob Liefeld is so popular is because his popularity came from him being a teenager breaking into comics, and that automatically threw him high up on the food chain by other teens reading comics, because it's like he made the dream seem more feasible to the rest of us. And then on the one thing that he actually isn't given props for is that he brought a lot of manga influence into Western comics. So like he was doing the speed lines and trying to bring mecha and other stuff in there way before other Western artists were trying to do it. So even though, yes, he's a little shit, and
I was gonna say he peaked. Like anatomy wise, he peaked.
and he kind of went batshit crazy over time. I don't know if that had to do with all his fame, but that's one of the things that he actually brought to the medium. So like
Oh, did he also do Deadpool?
yes, he created Deadpool and he created Cable. So like but he totally different Deadpool than the one that everybody loves right now.
Who's
His
responsible for
Deadpool,
that?
I would say that I don't want to say Loeb. I forgot who, but started writing them with a more writing Deadpool was a fourth breaking a fourth fourth wall breaking comedy character. But before then, Liefeld's Deadpool, even though he did crack a few jokes, he was more of a copy of Deathstroke from DC. So like so as I got older, I started getting introduced to more mature material. So I was reading Alan Moore books, and like which Alan Moore likes to do a lot of deconstruction of superheroes, and like he actually likes to break down like components of like things that are real heavy, like divorce, racism, like a lot of social problems and social ills, but he just like sticks them into like the superhero world. So I like reading things like that, and like a lot of other like Claremont, even though his comics are super wordy, he pushed the envelope on a lot of stories as well, and those sort of things, like that started pushing comics up for me from like a small entertainment that I was really glued on due to the art, and I started seeing like writers push the envelopes and having more serious stories that made me stick around and like fed into my love in the books even more. Like, don't get me wrong, there are tons of shitty comics out there, just like any other medium. Mm-hmm. But it's like, the good stuff is really, really good. And it's just a shame that, it's the bullshit stuff that gets more of a spotlight and what people are known for more than the actual good stuff. For example, I can bet that, that both of you and probably everybody who that's going to listen to this episode thinks that Superman is a boring character, correct?
You know I do. We talked about this extensively.
And what about you?
I mean, I guess I don't really have any feelings about him whatsoever, which I guess probably makes him boring. Like, I just don't care about him.
See? And that's like, that's one of the things where it's one, like, the only thing that's pushed to the, like, even though he's an iconic character, one of the things that's pushed to the world at large is just that he's the overpowered big boy, big blue boy scout who never does anything wrong, and and he can handle everything because he's just that super powerful. And yeah, that if that's the if that's your introduction to the character, and that's all being told to you about the character, then yes, the character's gonna seem boring. But it's like, good writers who handle the subject matter better, they basically bring to you the whole like alien complex of somebody who is not of this world, even though they were raised by human parents, but know that they have the powers of a god and still trying to imitate what it is to be a human and actually trying to squeeze into this world, to actually trying to fall in love with somebody, to knowing that if you slip up and like hey, I could wake up in the middle of the night with a night terror and accidentally kick my significant other and like break them in half.
Because that's how. Jizz.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Like, yeah, all sorts of crazy stuff.
That's joke, right? Right? That, like.
No, that's a. So that's like, a. That happened like in a parody.
Shotgun blast through her.
So, yeah, it's like so many. The whole like God amongst human, a God trying to live amongst human things, like that's where I think when Superman is like written the best, and there's like a lot of good people. Once again, I'm going to harp on Alan Moore because his Superman stories are amazing. Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman, which basically covered how important Superman is to the people and like how he's actually there for everybody. Amazing story that amazing art that I recommend as well. And like, if you're more on the goofy, cartoony side, then I recommend Jeff Loeb and one of my favorite artists, Ed McGuinness's Superman run, because it's like it's just an action-packed, fun-filled romp. So it's like, I wish these type of stories were more of the stuff that the character than what was showed of the character, instead of just the one-sided version of the character. Like, even when he's shown in cartoons, they don't really do a good job of showing the multi sides of the character. Mm-hmm. So
one portrayal of him I liked was him in Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just, like, instead of being super boy scouty, oh, I'm gonna do the right thing, like when he was presented with Superboy, who was essentially him and Lex Luthor's baby that was made without his consent.
Wait, what?
Like, Superboy is a clone of Superman with some of Lex Luthor's DNA in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow, I did not know that there was M-Preg in these comics.
Essentially. Non-con M-Preg at this point. And Superman was like, no, fuck him. I don't want anything to do with him. And it's like, it would have been for the better for him to be like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to take care of him because he's Kryptonian and I know what it's like. He could get out of hand. He was just like, no, for like a whole season. Fuck this kid. I don't want this. I didn't ask for this.
You made me laugh so hard. Bring up the Batman line from that. That boy needs his father.
I was like, he's not his father. What do you mean?
Exactly.
Everyone's like, just okay, trying to shame him.
Just because you like collecting kids, Bruce, doesn't mean that, exactly. that Clark was...
Wayne Orphanage.
Yeah, right? Oh, boy.
Fucking mess. But yeah, I do. I fully admit I find him fucking boring. Like, even when he should be interesting, he's boring. Like, I forget what that comic was, where it's like it's drawn really nicely and like it looks old, and it was like him and Batman and Wonder Woman, and they were essentially like a throuple.
I think you're talking about Trinity.
I don't know. It was like. Like, their costumes were different, and they were fighting, like, Booster Gold.
Hmm.
But it wasn't, like, regular Booster Gold. It was, like, some weird, fucked-up Booster Gold. He's stupid.
Yeah.
It fits him. It's a fitting name.
It's on purpose.
He's, like, essentially, like, a superhero influencer, for lack of a better term. Like, he's doing it for the cred.
Okay.
And this is before influencers were a thing. This was made. So, like, they were predicting the future with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have this person to blame for influencers, is what you're saying.
Why not?
But, this version of Booster Gold was more vicious than normal. Like, he was less goofy and more mean.
I think I missed out on that one.
I got it from you.
boomer brain.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. I remember Superman's costume looked more like Shazam's costume. And the style of it was like someone you'd sent me before. Recently, where it looked like he was just tracing over like old school, like old school, like advertising photo type pictures.
Hmm.
Shit.
Are you sure you didn't just dream this?
Yes, I'm sure. It was like Kingdom or something was the name.
Oh, you talking about Kingdom? Are you talking about Kingdom Come?
Might be.
And Alex Ross. That one is written by one of my favorite writers, comic writers, Mark Waid, and it is about Superman retired after the death of Lois Lane, and he kind of went cold to the whole like protecting humanity and sort of that, and like the up and coming new heroes were just running amok, and they were kind of like more. Dangerous than like the normal heroes that we came up with, and then when Superman came out of retirement, it turned into one of those generational things of the new ways of thinking versus the old ways of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like one of those type of stories.
Is that the guy who drew it? The one I was trying to describe?
Alex Ross.
Like the old timey advertisement looking shit.
Yeah, okay. That's Alex Ross.
Okay. I remember that I felt I was calling them a thruple because they were talking about having a kid or something, like at the end of it.
She did have a, I think she did end up getting pregnant by Supes at the end.
And there was something about including Batman in it, and it felt like more than just you're going to be the uncle. It was like something more involved than that.
You look too much into
it. No, it was there. You ain't look deep enough.
I mean, I know Bruce loved the kids, but I think he was chilling on this one. He was he stayed out of the way of those two.
No, that was his baby.
Mm. So
they super boyed that baby.
So what is I'm sorry. I'm not asking any questions.
No, you can continue. Ask God.
So, like, what do you guys feel are so bad about comics? What would keep you guys? What keeps you guys from actually like reading more and and actually finding some that actually may like change your perception of them?
I mean, I read comics. I just don't read a lot of mainstreamy stuff. Like, I don't read Batman, Superman because I feel like I know what's going to happen for the most part. And I know there are, like you were saying, like, you know, more off the beaten path kind of stories, but they're harder to find.
Yeah.
I mean, I read comics too. I just don't. I don't like superhero comics.
And why do you not like superheroes? So,
those are boring. I don't care about them.
That's not an answer. And,
yeah. I mean, but it is. But it is an answer. That's my answer. Why don't like, you care I about have them? Zero interest. Because they're boring.
I personally feel that you think you're boring because you haven't actually read any good superhero comics. And yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible. Yeah.
So, like,
Like, I mean, like, I have experience with superhero stuff through, like, movies and, like, cartoons. I enjoyed the cartoons when I was a kid. Like, I enjoyed, like, there was, like, the Batman cartoon. And I think there was, like, a Spider-Man cartoon. Like, I enjoyed those. But, like, I don't know. And it just seems that there's always, like, 500 billion ongoing stories. And so it's, like, I just don't even really know where to start. And then when I think about, like, well, like, maybe I can figure out where to start, I find that I just don't care how to figure that out.
That is a huge problem with mainstream comics, like, forever ongoing continuity. So, like, that can ruin things for a lot of people, especially if, once a new creative team gets on an arc, they just completely, like, say fuck you to whatever came before them to chart out their own story. Or, like, a story gets ruined because it has to be part of a big company crossover. So those are things that I hate. But one of the things that that I do is that, like, I just take personal arcs that I like, and to me that those are the stories that matter the most. I don't really care about what somebody else decides to do. Yeah, I definitely don't care.
That makes sense.
So that's how I tend to go about it with mainstream characters. Because if you're one of the I used to be one of these type of people, but if you're one of the people who are like you're so deeply involved in the medium where, like, every time, like, they do a character change, you feel like it's a complete betrayal of your trust, and you're like, how could you do this to the character and stuff like that? I think that that'll just ruin the whole experience for you altogether. There are some that I'm gonna actually always call out, like, that are completely stupid, like, all right, so Shay has heard me complain about this one a lot and, like, laugh about it a lot. But so Peter Parker eventually marries Mary Jane, and they and at one point in time she's actually pregnant but doesn't know it, and they're expecting a child. So after Peter Parker reveals himself to the world, he reveals his secret identity in the Civil War version of the comic book. Of course, this brings every enemy on his head who didn't know who Spider-Man was, and a sniper who was meant to shoot Peter Parker shoots Mary Jane. Shoots Aunt May. Now, Joe Quesada, who was editor-in-chief at the time, decided he wanted to step back down and do a comic because he felt that Spider-Man having a... having Mary Jane as a wife and a happy family is a complete betrayal to the character. So he wrote this convoluted story of after Aunt May gets shot, Peter goes around, he talks to the smartest man in the world, Reed Richards, and Reed Richards can't figure out how to save Aunt May from a bullet. He goes to Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme, and the man of the mystic arts can somehow not save an old woman who's dying from a bullet. Tony Stark cannot save an old woman dying from a bullet. So,
I mean, did he talk to a doctor?
Yes. This is after the doctors tell him that they can't save Aunt May from this bullet shot. So he goes to all these people who, you know, like, no big deal. Like, you know, Reed Richards stopped a god from devouring the planet. Doctor Strange fights off demons, gods, and everything, and has fought off the animated dead, but, you know, he can't save a dying old lady from a bullet. So Peter Parker has to resort to making a deal with the devil, and the devil is like, I don't want your soul, but what I do want is your memories. So I'm going to take away that you ever married Mary Jane. I'm going to take your unborn child, and I'm going to take away all these memories and stuff like that, and like so that's the way that Aunt May gets saved, and that allows Quesada to reset the book back to
It's fucking stupid.
Yes, it is.
I was holding back beyond the biggest sigh through all this.
Yeah, it's like all of that for no reason, and like So
I mean, like at a certain point when the devil's listing out all of these conditions, you'd be like, you know what? It was nice talking to you, but I mean, Aunt May is an old lady.
Exactly.
Like, like would Aunt May have even wanted all that shit to happen? No.
Yeah. It's like, dude, she got a couple more years at best. Like,
I mean, the devil's making that bargain, knowing full well he's gonna get her in like 6 months.
Yeah, so like it's dumb shit like that, because then like you know, everybody's like, so you're trying to tell me that all these years of comics that I've read like are now null and void since history's been changed? And like, so then it's like they realize how big of a fuck up they made, and he's like, no, those things still happened. It's just Peter no longer has a memory of it, and everybody in the universe who knew them no longer have a memory of them two being together. And I'm like, huh? Like,
what the fuck?
Exactly. So like dumb shit like that I can't stand. And like
he pulled
like
a Casey,
I said, I try not.
Him.
Yeah. I try not to get too involved in it. I just say it's not. It's I already read my good stories, and this doesn't affect that. But yeah, when that sort of thing happens, I do vent a little bit. But to stop my ranting, it's just I just stick to the good arcs, and those are the stories that represent good comics to me.
This is a time where it's good to pick and choose rather than just looking at the whole of everything.
Yes.
Well, especially when you have so many different writers with, like, their hand in the pot, it's like you're going to have some stinkers, obviously. So I think that it is, like, best to just ignore the stinky parts.
Yeah, especially also when you have editors who come at, just like any other big business where you have people who aren't really part of the creative system come in and tell creative people what to do. Like the same writer I was telling you that's one of my favorites, Mark Waid, he, after Captain America basically was tanking in sales because they didn't know what to do with the character, he had an arc where he was running, where he lost his, the super serum, soldier serum started wearing off, so he was running around wearing this ugly, like, football armor that looked god-awful, and then he had a...
Why?
Yeah, like, what does the armor have to do with the serum?
Yeah, it made no sense.
Did he get small? Did he get skinny?
No.
What was the point?
He just had super bulky armor on him. And, like, I think they were trying at one point in time trying to go... This was supposed to be a pass the mantle or torch sort of story, but they dropped the ball on that, too, because all the people they flaunted as being the next Captain America, it was real dumb, so nobody cared. And then he had an extent where he got bit by a werewolf, so he was Cap Wolf.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not.
Holy shit.
So it's Captain America as a werewolf, same outfit and everything.
Was that on the CW?
No.
That's always something they would pick up. That's always something they would pick up.
And so, you know, so then it's like, you know, Captain America's, the comic is dog shit. It's not selling. So, like, you know, Mark Waid was allowed to come on there and write it exactly the way he wanted. And Mark Waid did the damn thing like he normally does. And it was great. And Ron Garney was drawing. And it was one of the best Captain America runs around. And so then, as an interview, Mark Waid said himself that he's like, thank God I didn't have a gun because I'd probably be in prison after this meeting. Like, the high executives pulled him and Garney into a board meeting, and they're like, all right, so you guys are doing great. Captain America is in the top 10 selling titles, but we're going to show you how to not lose that and how to make sure it stays in that section. So you're telling the people who just bought the comic out of obscurity that we need to go ahead and save you from not messing up what you've achieved by yourself. So one of the things they did is they took away Captain America's shield and had them use an energy shield. Because they said the kid's like a energy projection, and that's so Captain America needs to have an energy shield, and they added a bunch of other dumb shit to it, and eventually Wade and Bo Garney left after a couple issues after
Jesus.
Well, you know, like, because I was just thinking, the one thing that really could get me into comics is energy shields. So I think they called that one
So they
right.
were, see, they were on to something. You know what? I was wrong this whole time. Energy shields is where it's at. Yeah, so yeah, that's always a big issue with the big two. I do like going through Dark Horse and Image and IDW a lot more these days because you know you're gonna get self-contained stories that aren't tied to a big whole universe in general. One of my favorite comics that I bother Shay about all the time is Invincible. It actually has a full complete story from beginning to end. It ended about a couple years ago. It's one of my, if not my favorite superhero comics of all time.
Is he
There are
getting a
some rough
movie?
patches. He's getting a movie and he's getting a cartoon series on Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah, so like I don't know if the cartoon series is going to be as good as a comic or if it's going to be another one of those Walking Dead type things where it's going to start.
You know what's good? What's really good that I liked a lot? I don't know how accurate it is. I feel like I know they've made some changes to it, but I feel
Oh,
like they've been
the
for the better
boys
because it was super
TV
white,
show I
as in there's
feel
like all white
completely
cast. The
like
Boys.
it's such a high step over the comic. Like it's yeah, I completely agree. Like it's they took everything that I everything like the comic gets to a point where I just can't read it. And I which I have a big problem with a lot of Garth Ennis's stuff. But yes. Another series
That's
that
the
you
Ray
would
Pappy
that I
guy,
think
right?
you enjoyed, Preacher.
Okay.
Yeah, his comic version of Preacher is it's such night and day. That's another one where I feel that they did
Oh yeah, I
much
watched the
better than the
show.
comic book. Just to give you a Did you get to the cannibal
You
part in the
read
comic
Preacher, right,
book?
John?
Okay.
Yeah,
Do you
years
remember that,
ago,
or
I
did you
was like
block it out?
my early 20s.
Where dude had to wipe a
I read
cannibal's
the whole
ass to get
thing.
out of a pit. So after they ate his, yeah. So yeah, that's the type of shit Garth Ennis writes. And I'm pretty sure that the TV show was not going to follow the boys' comic in any way, shape, or form. Do either one of you two mind if I ruin the ending of the comic for you? All right. Yeah, I definitely feel it's gonna be, I think from stuff they've already shown
Don't
in the
mind.
show, it's gonna
Okay.
be
If it,
completely
if you feel
different.
like it'll be
So
that
in the
different, I don't
comic,
mind.
when you get to the end part, you come to find out that Black Noir is actually a clone of Homelander, and the reason why Black Noir is even on the team is they basically set him there as a as some as somebody as a trump card to keep Homelander in check just in case they had to kill him. But the thing is, the Black Noir, yeah, he's actually black in the show. So
Yeah, they already changed that.
Black Noir, like he kind of
Black
went
Noir is
crazy. But
black.
like, actually, in the comic book, you come to find
Yeah.
out that Homelander was he. This whole like he actually was a he actually was pretty much like Superman. So like Black. Oh no, more of the whole like the. Truth, justice, and American way sort of guy.
He's an
Like he
alien
actually was
baby.
pretty boring, and like so New Black Noir actually got he went crazy trying to wait for something bad for him to do, so he basically did bad. He actually did things in the Homelander outfit, and like then like he got home like then he got he drugged Homelander, and like Homelander wakes up to a bunch of these pictures of him doing things like raping Butcher's wife, like all these other things. And like since he can't have he doesn't have any memory of this, like Homelander goes crazy saying like it goes from him like curled up in the fetal position, throwing up on himself and everything, like no, this isn't me. I don't do these sort of things to him like his mind breaking and saying, why can't I do these things? I'm the most powerful man in the world, like the scene of him jerking off in the tower, the stuff that he was saying there, that's the stuff that he was saying when he was curled up in the fetal position after seeing these pictures, mm-hmm. pictures of him forming it.
Sounds like a wild ride.
Like, that was in the show. It was really weird. It was like his little white supremacist girlfriend got all burnt up. He's sitting there. He's standing there, no pants on. I was like they were just showing him, like, the shoulders up. I was like, is he jerking off? And then they zoom out, and you see, like, his bare ass, but he still has boots
so
on.
So that...
And he's, like, jerking off, saying all these, like, self-affirmation shit. The most powerful man in the world. It. I could do anything.
So they took that part. And,
I wish
and,
you guys
like,
could
just,
see my face right
they
now.
Took those words, but they different context in the TV show. Anyway, to get to the point, Homelander ends up finding this out from Butcher at the end, and he completely snaps, saying like you know you ruined my whole fucking life. He's like you turned me into this monster. So he basically tries to. No, he said that to Black Noir. And he tries to kill Black Noir, but Black Noir apparently is more powerful than him, and he kills Homelander. And then, they basically have all these forces set to draw in on the White House, and they eventually kill Black Noir, and Butcher gets away. Now, and then Black Noir is killed eventually by other forces who draw in onto the White House. So, in the comic series, the other members of the boys actually eventually end up taking V and getting powers themselves. So after Homelander and everybody is dead, Butcher is still on his all soup's gotta die kick. So then he actually starts murdering members of his own team, murdering members of the boys themselves. And this ends up, yeah, it's so stupid. Yeah, and this ends up with him trying to kill him about to kill Huey on the top of like a clock tower. They actually fall through, and the way Butcher lands, he basically breaks his neck and he's paralyzed from the neck down, and he basically lies to Huey, telling him that he killed his whole family that Huey thought was in hiding, which basically pushes Huey to finally kill Butcher, and Butcher dies with a smile on his face. And there you have it. And that's pretty much the ending to the comic version of The Boys.
They definitely can't do worse than that. Yeah. It's like they would have to try really hard to torpedo it from where it is right now.
Oh, you know, it's possible, though.
I don't know. I just feel
like people seem like they.
Good.
Okay. I just think that like when people are given a chance to do something great, like they make a list of ideas to do something great, and then they do the opposite of all.
I would be
ideas.
Impressed because there's like such a huge gulf between that and where the show is. It's like it could go awry before it hits rock bottom, but just to
yeah,
just
they even they
drive it
in the comic
into
books,
the
Stormfront character is
like,
actually
next
a male.
Level dedication.
and like a
so what was the point
I'm not like, exactly sure because I refuse
like,
to read
what was the relationship with
Stormfront?
So, like what did they do?
I do know that and like the is a what's Dean Winchester's real name, the actor, Eccles, is it? He's joined season 3 as a soldier, a character named Soldier Boy, who's
Jensen
basically a Captain America Apple, riff.
Something like that.
And, like, I do know that, like that character ends up sleeping with Homelander in the comic from pages that I've seen, so I don't know if they're actually going to have that happen on the TV as well. Yeah, that seems feasible. But, yeah, I'm just so glad it's gone in its own direction, and they've handled even like a lot of the most raunchy stuff with way more tact and class than the comic does, you know, like props to them for that.
class. I was gonna say with
the shifter, the
Soldier Boy thing. It kind of laid the groundwork for that already. Like when he had the shapeshifter. Yeah.
Yeah. There's...
Like the look on his face, it was not a no. And there was a part, Jen, when Homelander, like he had this really weird, gross relationship with this lady in the first episode where he was like obsessed with her. And he was like going around trying to drink like her breast milk or something. It was nasty.
Oh, what?
But it turned out that she was lying to him about something. So he like fried her brain with like his Superman laser eyes. But he regretted it. So he had this shapeshifter guy who was essentially like a hooker for him, a prostitute, sex worker, forgive me. And he would make the shapeshifter, who was a dude, like a heavy dude, dress in lingerie and look like this lady and just say nice things to him for the most part. And then there was some point where I can't remember why he did this, but the shapeshifter like changed to look like Homelander and was offering to give him a blowjob as himself. It was like Homelander in the same slinky lingerie.
Oh, because
okay,
like why did he do that? Do you remember?
It is you'll have a blast.
This you sounds like a whole
fun.
Mess.
It's so fun.
Like at that point, like
yes,
the
it is.
Like him, the shapeshifter being his older obsession was no longer doing it for him, and like yeah, he's like hey, he was like. Nobody knows you more than yourself. Like, how hot is it getting a blowjob from your own self? I'm like, okay, dog. All right.
Yeah.
That's where you want to take it. Get off the point of Garth Ennis.
Oh, man.
He, one of the last things that I know that he put out was a series called Crossed, which was his own take on zombies, but it was more of a rage virus thing. So basically... yeah, so his thing is if you get infected and become one of the crossed, basically you get a rash, a cross-shaped rash across the front of your face, and it takes away all your compassion and your inhibitions, and it turns you into the worst humanly, the worst humanly possible version of yourself.
Rape monster.
So it's like any possible gross thing you can think of, it will take place in those comics, and... And I'm just afraid that somebody's going to be like, oh, this is great. Let's put it on HBO Max or something like that.
Gross. So,
yeah. So that's the last thing I've seen of him.
Regular
I don't know
HBO.
If you guys ever
they would take
heard
that.
Of Blair Butler on G4, who used to do a show called Fresh Ink. Well, she used to cover comics, and I remember her talking about how she loved the...
Nope.
Garth Ennis's concepts and like how he tries to like dump a bunch of genres on its head all the time. But when I tell you the look of like sadness in her face and like and how serious she looked when she looked at the camera, she's like, "Can we please get a story from you without rape, please?" She's like pleading, yeah. Like,
he's a fucking creep.
Exactly.
All.
I'm just like, I'm just waiting for them one day.
It's upsetting, though.
Like,
it's like, he could be a creep, but it's like, why y'all gotta pay
him? I'm waiting
him
to one day wake up and look at the news like, that, like, a bunch of dead bodies was found in his basement or something like that. Because he really seems off kilter, the type of shit that he writes all the time. I could see if you you wrote one book like that because you had some stuff that you wanted to say or you had an interesting, controversial take. But why does this have to be in, like, every one of your stories, this type of shit? Good point.
People are buying it.
Yeah.
That is that's Mark Millar.
He's not the one who wrote. Is it Old Man Logan?
Yes, the Hulk family were cannibals.
And that's the one that has like the that had cannibals in it.
Yes.
Too, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
incestual cannibals or some shit.
That's what I said. I'm so tired. Stay away from certain things.
This is why I don't read, what you call it, mainstream comics. I'm sick of it.
If Henry Pan issues you something, like, just read that.
I didn't know.
Be good with that.
I didn't know until I got there.
Yeah,
I definitely did. Like, I saw like pictures of this like on a forum, and that's why I started reading it.
Old Man Logan's a fun read, except for weird shit like that.
I think it was one of the Chans. Yeah. What was it? Didn't like his kid marry like someone in Spider-Man's family?
Yeah, because Hawkeye's daughter was like, she had like the Spidey costume, the Spidey abilities, Logan. But I forgot how that whole family dynamic worked. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Old Man Logan, I think, was another movie that, even though it was way different from the comic, I think they did a good job. The absence of Bruce Banner, who created a whole family of incest bumpkins by sleeping with his cousin, was not needed at all. So, yeah. Great, good shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think people just want to be
edgy. It's just people wanting to be edgy, right? Like, what is the point? Why do that?
Yep.
You just want to make people uncomfortable just for this, just to say they made people uncomfortable.
I mean, just, like, listening to you guys for, like, the past hour has just affirmed my desire to never read any of these
things. Pass some stuff to you, go look in and look.
The Boys is fun, though. Watch The
go
Boys.
Go into it with open eyes. And not your heathen comic book hating soul, and
I don't hate comic books. I'm talking about the genre type of comic books. Like, that you don't like. I have super comics on my shelf now. Like I if just I pass you like some stuff, all of this
go into
garbage.
It with an open mind and like pretend it's not everything bad that you think about superhero comics, and see what you think afterwards. Fair enough. I promise not to pass you anything with incest or raping.
I can definitely promise that.
Yeah. Nothing by Garth Ennis.
Well,
just the bare minimum.
I didn't mind Preacher when I read it when I was in my early 20s. Like, I liked it. But I can't imagine, like, still reading it now.
Yeah, you would.
And, like, or any of his other stuff. Because it sounds like it's basically all the same stuff. Just, like,
yeah, your mature brain
context,
is
but
a
just
lot
the
different.
Same
like, for example,
sort of terrible things happening. So like, now it's just, like, boring.
I don't hate The Killing Joke as much as other people hate The Killing Joke. But, like, I can absolutely understand why people think it's a shit story. Like, even the creator, Alan Moore, who I kept saying to you guys, you're going to hear his name a lot, even he thinks it's one of his worst works, and I can understand why people think that. Like, that's the one where the Joker paralyzes
Barbara. Which one is that?
Barbara
is that
Gordon.
The one with Jason Todd or another one?
So, like,
and it was like a weird, like the people were upset about the cover.
Another artist, like for like it was an issue with Batgirl that actually contained the Joker in it, and that cover artist decided to do a callback to The Killing Joke. So it has like Babs looking completely frightened on the front with the Joker like standing behind her, like making a blood smile on her face, pulling her cheeks back, and it just like it's like a. It's done in that style that The Killing Joke was done in, so that like that upset a lot of people, because they a lot of people hate that story for good reason. So like seeing that sort of seeing it in that done in that form that style again, and people making it, it made people feel that they were making a Batgirl look weak and terrified of the Joker, even though she's gone toe to toe with villains much more powerful than him. So that a lot of people had beef with it. The story of The Killing Joke.
Well, what is the story? Like beyond
the story of The Killing Joke was basically it was never meant to actually be continuity, but it actually it did so well, it ended up becoming continuity. It was basically the story of it gave you a partial origin for the Joker, and then it basically built off of that origin. It went through the Joker basically trying to prove to the world that it only takes one bad event to drive you crazy. So to prove this to Batman, he decided to fuck up Commissioner Gordon's life because he wanted to prove that he could turn he could drive Commissioner Gordon insane with just one horrible day of events, like the same thing that happened to him. And like that's why he basically after he kidnaps kidnaps Commissioner Gordon, he shoots and he shoots Batgirl, but he basically the way he frames her on the floor, like I took it that the way he frames it on the floor, he's actually making it look like a like it's a crime scene. But other people, a lot of other people who read into it, they make it feel like he was trying to make it look like he raped her. And he basically shows these pictures to a capture Gordon while he's like torturing him and stuff like that, like before Bats comes in at the end, sort of thing. So a lot of that's like the whole tale of the Killing Joke. Like Commissioner Gordon didn't break even after all the shit that he did to him. Yep, you got it.
So it's a women refrigerator story.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can see.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the reasons why
we need to start doing those.
Moore hates it himself and thinks that it was pretty stupid. Now these even though it was like years and years ago. Like I used to actually I will not lie. I used to actually defend it feeling that like it actually elevated Barbara as a character, because I feel that her going from Batgirl, who before she was just seen as a spunky, bubbly sidekick in a way, and she ended up turning into Oracle. Yeah, I thought that leap in character importance. Like I felt even though like honestly anybody could like say to me that no, because that wasn't the way it was planned. Like somebody just decided to take what happened in that story and like, all right, we're going to build her into this. This wasn't like a plan from the beginning. But yeah, that's the way I was looking at it at the time. So she got her, for people who don't know, which I don't see how you couldn't know, she ended up being able to walk again. She assumed the mantle of Batgirl. And that's why when that upcoming issue of Batgirl, when they put the Joker on and they imitated that cover, it pissed a lot of people off. Full circle.
That's another thing that kept me away from comics. Like, diversity in general, because, like, most of the comics I saw were, like, the ones I had access to. They were, like, you know, mostly white people.
What are y'all talking about? Very few like, women. You have Luke Cage and Black Panther. They were just, like, they're black and women. Feature. Right? Is that all the diversity that you need? I mean, come on.
No. Brandon said that where he grew up in Brooklyn, there was like a comic shop that focused on like specifically black characters, and they kept comics with black characters. So he could like come here and like rattle off like 10 black characters I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Like outside of McDuffie's stint, like what he created.
Yeah, at the earlier time, but like
definitely they like were not accessible. One of the
things that was said to me when I was younger, and this wasn't even me like being angry or anything about it. I just simply I used to ask like why are there not more black characters in these stories? And I remember multiple times getting the answer of if you want more black characters, then make your own stories. And like that's so that's something I actually decided to do. going into another point, it's a super bullshit answer. But it's like one of those That's things where, like, answer, you know, when you get up older mm-hmm. and you reflect back on it, you're just like, wow, what shitty people. But, like, moving on to something different that has nothing to do with what we just said. Getting comics was so hard for me and Vernon to actually get. Like, we used to actually have to pay crackheads to take us to the comic store. Because, like, that's how far away we were from any type of a store or anything like that. Like, so the only type of comics we would have is, like, either A, we'd read at the library, or B, we only got to read what was at the High's gas station, whichever they had in their little turnabout comic book thing. And then when we actually got we found out where a real comic book store was, it was, like, 35 minutes away. So we would actually, like, pay the local crackhead to give us a ride over there to the store, and that's how we would get our comic fix and our issues at that time. Yeah.
It was rough.
Want to pick my head apart about anything else?
I don't know. I remember, like, when I first started seeing comics, it was, what is that stupid group? I think it's Layfield. And it's, like, a guy has, like, a red and black mask, but, like, his hair shows.
Oh, Wildcats. That's Jim Lee.
Is something Cats? Jim Lee. I hate it. But it was, I remember it was in, like, the store my father used to go to. And whenever we were there, I would go, like, straight to the comic rack. It was, you know, like, on little, like you said, on a little stupid spindle, like, spinny rack. And he never used to want to let me get them. Like, I honestly, up. I didn't really start getting into comics then until I left me and you against Jen right now. Because of
that. Yeah. One of the things, another, like, huge comic heads with me, We all agree that Wildcats wasn't really good, but it's one of those things that Jim Lee was such a superstar, and we loved his artwork so much that that's the only reason. Yep, got it. Yes. I mean, yeah, not for the story.
So you got it. You got it for him, yeah, not for the art.
His artwork's so good.
Terrible. Terrible.
And then eventually you had, like, people like Moore and Loeb and other writers come on, and they basically breathed a whole lot more depth into the characters. Like, when it first starts off, it's like an X-Men ripoff but it's just that they're aliens, and like their main enemies are aliens called Daemonites, with their leader Hellspont, who's basically like a Magneto type. And, like, when these other writers come on, they break it down more for you that the war between these guys that have been going on for centuries had ended a long time ago, and nobody decided to tell them. And it's like, oh, you guys are fucked up. And so it's like, when they go back to their home world, they find out that they actually won the war, and, like, the Daemonites, who are seen as these big bads, are actually treated like shit on the home world now that the quote-unquote good guys won. And you actually start seeing, like, fractures in the group themselves, as, like some people are like, hey, you can't hang out with them because you're part of this guild, you're part of this clan house. It's frowned upon if you're seen with that type of character. It's interesting, the path they decided to take. And Loeb had a whole run when he decided to do the main character that you said that you that looks stupid, the guy with the face mask with his hair sticking out the top, Spartan. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you're talking about Cole.
Do you ever see
Drifter,
his face?
Drifter. Oh, no, he looks...
Is it ugly?
Yeah. Yeah, he has a very regular face. There's no reason for him to even have
guns. Like, I Googled it. Jim Lee
just thought the mask looked cool, like very bandity or whatever like that. Yes. And so, yeah, they even did a run where Spartan actually he tries to take over the world via capitalism, and it's pretty cool how the guy wrote it. So yeah, it got a lot cooler with cooler writers attached. But before then, it was way more about here's just my copy of the X-Men now that I no longer draw the X-Men, and here's my very loose story that just exists only so I can draw action scenes.
I'm putting some links in the
best Captain America meat drawing chat of all time
for your viewing pleasure, both of you. Like, I wanted to bring it up when you first mentioned him, Layfield, but I didn't have like an end.
Oh, trash!
All these Chris Evans edits, though, is disgusting. Here's another one. It's so bad. Why do this? Why?
They're just being true to form.
Oh my god.
God, it's so upsetting. Oh, what the fuck is this? Is this supposed to be? I hope this is not supposed to be a character we're supposed to know. Hold on. So Rob Layfield, his whole career is based on nepotism. Holy shit.
What is that?
It's from Captain America number 2 by Layfield. Oh shit, there's more. Hold on. Oh man. See, this is what happened. Like he was a youngster and getting into comics, but I guess they should have let him rock for like another year or two.
That's so ego in check like after this, being such a superstar at such a young age. That's one of his trademarks, drawing everybody as if they had a bunch of razor blade cuts to the face. He draws imaginary hills to come up over feet, so he doesn't have to draw feet a lot of the time. Even if it's like in a science based lab where it's like everything's flat and sterile, you'll have one round hump of a hill there just to cover a foot up. He draws these weird stylized stumpy hands also. And that's his thing.
I'm like honestly like impressed by his like sheer audacity.
Yeah, really.
Like I just can't believe that he does that and considers it okay. Like it's mind blowing.
He got 20 people telling him it's okay, and like 2 saying it's not. He's listening to the ones that are saying it's okay.
I mean,
majority
rules. Yeah, narcissism. Why are you doing it to yourself? Are you pulling that up so every time you think
I complained about how I draw?
Is that
I am not this?
I think you're like
working against
me now.
I should just
make
it my background on my computer.
How am I supposed to get Jen to read something?
Oh,
this
God.
Is the sort of shit you're showing her.
Listen, she could read something not Layfield. No Layfield and no Innes.
What the fuck am I even looking at?
That's like.
Oh my
awesome.
God.
Those legs go on forever.
This is the worst. No.
Oh, man.
What the fuck? Okay, here's one. Someone tell me what's happening in this picture. All right. This is the last one. Is she a mannequin? Is she smelling her hair? What is happening?
Peggy, it's me, Steve.
And talking through his teeth like that. Like,
oh, God.
What's happening?
I mean, just the sense of, like, the lack of awareness, asking, like, what have they done to you? But it's like, sir, look at yourself.
Yo, okay, wait. Look at his head compared to the size of her head, though. Is he a giant, or is she, like, a little person? Like, what is happening?
Well, I mean, you saw, like, that's... in the previous picture, he seems like a giant.
Oh, no,
you
can...
oh God. That's like, that previous one is like something that I would draw in like kindergarten. Like, where it's like, you know how like little kids, like they draw like a person with like the person's feet at the very bottom of the page and like the person's head at the very top of the page, and like everything's like out of proportion, like just crazy looking. As like that's what that picture looks like.
A bit.
Like how this sort of thing even happens. Like, is he literally just, like, rubbing his face up against the back of her head saying this? Or is it, or, like, are we supposed to be seeing, I don't know. I can't make heads or tails out of this.
I found that one on a Tumblr blog called Bad Comic Art. And the title of it is, they got paid for this. who was the guy who used to trace porn for his female characters?
Let's see. Oh, I can't remember the guys' names. You still looking at Liefeld stuff?
I guess so. I'm gonna send you.
I'm like scrolling on that blog, and there's just some good stuff in there.
Lazy piece of shit, just straight up copying, tracing over porn, and then drawing superhero outfits on it.
I do remember seeing people's like mockings of that. Oh, did you see that Dragon Age one on the second page of that blog?
Greg Land. Wait, that's the guy's name. Is? Greg Land.
I'm looking at it.
That's what it says. It says Dragon Age.
I'm looking at it. I didn't realize it was Dragon Age. Greg Land?
Yes. I know
Humberto Ramos. Do you know Humberto Ramos? Humberto? Okay. They're digging into him for this cover. She got a toothpaste tube body. Let me see if I can get the link. I probably can't. I'm lazy. Orson Scott Card. Why do I know that name?
Ender's Game. Yeah, he's a homophobe.
Oh, yeah.
Humberto Ramos gets a pass.
He wrote for this. BioWare, what are you doing?
Because his artwork is supposed to be graffiti stylized.
Why? This don't look like graffiti. Like, her perspective is all fucked up and stupid, but her body is not graffiti.
Her body's broken on purpose.
I look at the Dragon Age thing, still. So.
Like,
she got, like, 2 feet between her boobs and her belly button.
It's the vampire comic.
I don't remember what Crimson is.
You did like it, so I'm going to use that.
I don't remember. Let me see. Ew, what the fuck is this? I don't like it. Like, I'm looking at this first thing that shows up, and that's okay. And then, like, the third thing that shows up.
The,
But you
own let me see if I can trigger a memory for you. One of the best issues of that comic was when they depicted angels, and it was inside of a cafe, and they just basically made them come across as super mean and hating humans, and it's like you really enjoyed that issue. Okay.
I don't remember, but I'll take your word for it. But it's just like looking at it now, I hate how it looks. Like I could like the writing.
You would. Just, you enjoyed it the first time. It's ugly.
I don't know. I'd reread this. I don't know if I would enjoy it.
You still wouldn't enjoy it, damn it.
Okay, Humberto Ramos gets passed. A million years ago.
And I'm sorry. I said Greg Land, but I meant to say Greg Land was also a person known for tracing photographs, but Greg Horn was much, much worse.
He looks like a scummy guy. He looks like he would talk to you too much while you're online when you go to the bathroom.
What? That sounds very specific.
Hey, look, you're on a long line in a bar waiting to go to the bathroom. You obviously have to take a piss. He's just over there in your face. Just trying to make small talk. Like, dude, I don't want to talk to you. I have to pee. Leave me alone.
It's a very personal experience you're relating right now.
That's just what he looks like. Just something that's inconvenient and would not get
anybody who listens to this podcast. Humberto Ramos.
That's just the gist of it. Oh, he did a comic with Punchline, a cover for a comic.
Punchline. I agree.
That's another thing I don't like about comics. It's like she's unnecessary. Yes. Punchline is who they made to replace Harley Quinn
was as an anomaly.
The Joker's
and,
girlfriend.
It should have stayed an anomaly.
The Joker fucking doesn't need a girlfriend.
Especially since most creators feel that the Joker is homosexual anyway. Because not only his level of obsession, but a lot of people draw back to the much older comics when he first started getting the personality and him his mouth isn't that way. He actually applies lipstick and how he would just basically be flirting with Batman all the time and blowing kisses to him and stuff like that. Oh, a lot of comic historians who go back and they look at the old issues and break stuff down.
Why
so that's
is he
that's
this?
How they're looking at it anyway.
Okay.
Jen, you were so quiet.
On that note, I think we'll close up here.
I don't really have anything to say.
I'm going to say you're still
it's
super
all boring
wrong.
And terrible. I stand by my verdicts terrible. That I had at the very beginning.
Like,
I mean, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
I'm super right. I will bring a...
You're both wrong. How's about that?
And I will, I will pass stuff
off
to
wrong,
you to prove that how right
depending on the day. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not saying that they're all terrible. I'm just saying that I've not read a good one. Or I've not.
Yes,
I've
so
not been
we conclude this with that you're wrong and I am right.
Like shit.
It's been a great show.
I'm terrible. Terrible. It was fun having you.
Also,
aside from the crazy bits,
sorry I wasn't able to
Garthiness
condense
and
tighten up my thoughts.
Fetish.
So there's a lot of rambling.
But
I hope some of it got through to you, Jen. I hope you got some of that.
That's fine. I'll cut it.
But, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com. and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.